Okay.
So let's try to figure out a little bit of about the sugya of Nascha de Rav Abba, and hopefully that could be a springboard into the sugya of Eid Echad in general, which is a... The lumdus is very, very similar in certain ways, and we have to figure out how to try to avoid getting confused between some of the things that are relevant to Nascha de Rav Abba versus some of the things that are relative to Eid Echad, and where they match and where they don't match. So it's a little bit of an avoda. So let's take a look again at the Gemara, but this time we'll look at the Gemara later in the Masechta, where there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel on one hand, and we have Rav Abba on the other hand. So here you have a case, let's say everybody is choshed ala Shmuel, so this is one of those cases where the Vilna Shas put all the Mishnayos at the beginning of the Perek, in the seventh Perek of Shavuos. You have, the Mishnah takes about almost a full daf, and it's because they put all the Mishnayos in one spot. So there, in the middle of the Mishnah, they talk about, one of the cases of Nishba v'Notel is Kenegdo Choshud al Shavuos. If, let's say, I say you owe me $1,000, you say you owe me $500, but you're also not allowed to swear because you've already been posseled from swearing under certain circumstances. So the halacha is, I now have to be nishba v'notel. I take a shvuah that you do owe me the $1,000, and I can collect all $1,000. Obviously, one of the major motivations for such a takana would be what? Yeah, but once a person is officially choshed al shvuah, it's open season on him. Like, every guy is going to go over to him and say, oh, you want to borrow a dollar? Sure. And he borrows the dollar, and then the next day, oh, where's my $1,000? What do you mean? You only loan me a dollar. I don't know about that. That's modem mixas. I think you have to swear. You know I can't swear. And he's like, okay, I guess pay up your $1,000. Right? So in order that this not be the problem, so I have to now swear that you owe me the full $1,000, not just, not just telling you that you can't swear. All right, that's... could be other motivations as well, but that's one very simple application. Then the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, and it says, "Hayushneim chashudin chazra shvua limkoma divrei Rabbi Yossi." Rabbi Yossi says, if they're both chashud al shvua, the shvua goes back to its place. That's Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir Omer yachloku. Rabbi Meir says yachloku. Okay, we paskin chazra shvua. But the problem is the Gemara is not convinced what Chazra Shvuah even means. So the Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin has discussion within the case of Chazra Shvuah. So Amar Le Rav, where is it there? Sorry. Chazra Shvuah Lehechon Chazra. Amar Rav Ami Rabu Seinu Sheba Bavel Amru Chazra Shvuah LeSinai. The Shvuah goes back to Har Sinai. Well, what does that mean? What does Chazra Shvuah LeSinai mean? So basically, Rashi explains the Sinai, the Shavuos Har Sinai, Sheishbiyah Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Alo Sigzol. In general, the Gemara has a phrase, Mushboin Va'omdin Mehar Sinai, that the Jewish people are considered to have taken a Shavuah at Har Sinai to keep the Torah. So that's like the Torah itself is like a Shavuah. So therefore, when it says it goes back to Har Sinai, that means that it goes back to the Shavuah that we took, that we're not going to steal. So what does that mean? It means that if the person knows that he owes the money, he should really pay it and not violate stealing. And if the person doesn't think he owes the money, then the other guy is a goslin, and therefore this guy doesn't have to pay, because that would be stealing. So that's Rashi finishes off. He says, Lo yifra mina kofer mama l'chaveru, avo beizdin ein niskak and lo l'shavu lo l'piron. Basically, it goes back to everyone has to do the right thing. That's Mushbon Mehar Sinai. Everybody does the right thing. And therefore, if this guy really thinks he's innocent, he shouldn't have to pay. Bazin can't force him to pay. That is the opinion of Rabbo Seinu Shebe Bovel. Rabbo Seinu Shebe Eretz Yisrael Amru Chazra Shvua L'Mechuyev Lo. He says, no, we go back to the Shvua that you were Mechuyev to take. Meaning, if you owed a shvuah, let's say there's an Eid Echad that's going to testify against you, now you owe a shvuah, so if you can't take the shvuah, it goes to the guy who has the Eid Echad, he can't take the shvuah, it goes back to you. So what would that? What would the halacha be over there? So Rashi says, "Al zeh shehodim emiktzas kevin shein yachal yishava sharei choshen hu yishalim." So he has to pay. So if both are going to be choshen on the shvua, so you don't. It doesn't just keep bouncing around forever, and then everybody does the right thing. It means that if you can't take a shvua and I can't take a shvua, so it goes back to you. And now you have to do whatever you would do had you refused to take the shvua or had you just been unable to, as in this case. So that is the machlokus. Now the Gemara goes further and says, "Who are these Rabboseinu Sheva Bavel and Rabboseinu Sheva Eretz Yisrael?" So we know the Rabboseinu Sheva Bavel. Rav Papa says, "Rabboseinu Sheva Bavel, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabboseinu Sheva Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. Rabboseinu Sheva Bavel, Rabbi Shmuel." How do we know that the Rabboseinu Sheva Bavel, who say that it goes back to Har Sinai and nobody can collect? How do we know that that is Rav and Shmuel? Because we're going to bring a raya from the following case. Ditznan, as we have in a Mishnah. The rule is, Yisomim cannot, you don't pay unless they take a Shvua. Who's taking a Shvua? So we ask on that Mishnah. Miman, who's taking this so-called Shvua? Who's taking the Shvua? Ilema, Malve avuon shakel below shvua, or milve avuon shakel below shvua, v'inu b'shvua. Right, one second, I skipped a line. Yeah, well, one second, I'm reading it wrong. Ilema malve, so we're going to say, the malve has to take a shvua. I'm going to collect from the Yisomim. I'm sorry, I'm going to collect why am I saying this wrong? One second.
Who's, if you say the Yisomim are the malve, they take a shvua, that doesn't make sense.
Good, so if the Yisomim are the malve, they take a shvua, avuon shakel below shvua, v'inu b'shvua. So the father is going to take he could have collected without a shvua. Why should they have to swear? Meaning, I lend you $1 million, then I die, and my kid wants to collect $1 million. Why should he have to swear? What does that have to do with anything? Right? Elachi kamer, v'chein ha'yisomim, min ha'yisomim lo yivru elo b'shvua. So if you have yisomim collecting from other yisomim, they have to swear, right? So it's a weird case. What happens over here? Reuven lends money to Shimon. Reuven dies. Shimon dies. So now when it says in the Mishnah that yisomim only collect b'shvua, it's when they're collecting from yisomim. What's the whole reason that you have to take a shvua when you collect from yisomim in the first place? But what's the main logic besides just like we're trying to take care of them? What are we doing to take care of them? Somebody says to you, "All right, your father owed me money." What's your response? Maybe, I don't know. What do you want from me? He borrowed money from you. So anybody who wants can just come over to a yasum and say, "Your father owed me money. Like, I hear you just inherited a large estate. Some of it belongs to me because your father owed me a lot of money." I don't know. So you should have to take a shvua if you want to collect. Right? Now let's say the case is two sets of yisomim. One set of yisomim comes over to the other set of yisomim and says, "You know, our father loaned your father money." So the same thing. The yisomim, they don't know anything. So they could say, "All right, you can collect, but you still have to swear." So now the question is, what's the background over here? Right, v'ravu Shmuel, the Amri Tarvayo, they say over here, here's the background. Lo shoen el shemes malve b'chaye love. If the malve died while the love was still alive, Reuven lends money to Shimon. Reuven dies. Shimon is still alive. So now, the B'nai Reuven have the right to collect from Shimon. Right? So then, Shimon dies. Now the B'nai Reuven are collecting from the B'nai Shimon. That's when they have to swear. Avol meis love b'chaye malve. But let's say Shimon dies and Reuven never gets around to collecting from the B'nai Shimon. And now Reuven dies and the B'nai Reuven now have to collect from B'nai Shimon. Kvar nischayev malve l'B'nai love shvua v'ein adam morish shvua l'banav. So he says there, what's the case? Reuven should have collected from the B'nai Shimon while he was still alive. He never did it. Now, if Reuven was going to collect from the B'nai Shimon, what would he have had to do? He would have to swear. Now Reuven dies and the B'nai Reuven come along. They can't swear. Why not? They don't know anything. What are they going to swear? Hearsay. We know that our father told us this. Okay, shkoyach. That's not the type of shvu you have to take. The type of shvu you have to take is, we were there. We saw it. We know you owe it to us. Right? So you have the B'nai Reuven cannot yarshin a chov that has a shvu attached to it. They can't inherit the ability to collect from that debt. And therefore, they can't collect. So the B'nai Reuven, so basically in the following case, the B'nai Reuven cannot collect from the B'nai Shimon. Right? The B'nai Reuven is alive. Shimon's alive. Reuven lends Shimon $1 million. Then what happens? Shimon dies. Now Reuven has to collect from the B'nai Shimon with a shvua. Then Reuven dies. It's over. Rav and Shmuel say it's over. Why is it over? Because you can't be morish a shvua to your children. Right? Rashi over here explains, Ein ada morish laban of mamon shu mechuyev alav shvua. You cannot yarshin money that you would not have been able to collect without a shvua. Alma, hovu mechuyev shvua velo shelo iskabalti chov zev yisomen ein yichol lishava kein. Reuven has to say, I swear your father owed me the money and he never paid me back. The B'nai Reuven can't swear to that. They don't know if their father collected it or not. It says, Ella Shalom, or they, all they could swear is Shalom Pakadnu Abba, that our father never collected it and gave it to us. The Ein Zu HaShvum would tell us Alaviyam. That's not the Chi of Shvua that the father would have had to swear. The Gam Yasme Lovein Yechom Mishav Shaparu Avien. Right, and you can't flip it back on the B'nai Shimon. They can't swear, oh, we know for a fact that our father already paid. They don't know anything. So therefore, come Rav and Shmuel, Shalom Yifru. Right, so Rav and Shmuel hold, therefore, that they don't have to pay. Alma, Hamachuyu Shvua, Ve'in Yichon Lishava, Lozev Lozev, Sviru Lil Rav and Shmuel, Chazra Shvul Sinai, Ve'in Kanel Shvul Velo Piron. So what is the case? Rav and Shmuel both hold that when you have a chi of shvua and nobody can take the shvua, that's it. Everybody should try to do the right thing, but Beis Din can't force anybody to do anything. So if the B'nai Shimon really know they owe the money, Chazra Shvua L'Sinai, they should pay. They should do the right thing. But Kol Zman that nobody can take the shvua, Beis Din cannot force them to pay. That's the way Rav and Shmuel hold. That's what it means when it says Rav Hoseinu Sheb Bavel hold that it's Chazru L'Sinai. What about Rav Hoseinu Sheb Eretz Yisrael? That's Rabbi Abba. How's that case? So that's the case of the Nascha de Rabbi Abba. Right? Rav Hoseinu Sheb Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abba, Dahu Gavre de Chotif Nascha Mechavrei, Asa L'Kamei de Rav Ami, Yosef Rav Abba Kamei, Aisi Chad Sad de Mechtav Chotfa Minei. So you guys remember the case that basically the guy has an Eid Echad who says, I saw you steal this or grab it away from me. So Amar Leh, yeah, Im Chatfi V'Didi Chatfi. I was just taking back what was mine. The fact that you saw this one action is so irrelevant in terms of understanding the whole picture. You didn't realize that yesterday this guy came and stole it from me. So I was just taking back what was mine. Amar Avami, Hechel Adayne Dayne Lahai Dina. What are we going to do? Name a lezil shlim lekatri sade niftere ikachad sade. We can't say you got to pay, and you can't say you don't have to pay because there is an eid echad. So okay, so name a lezil ishtab. We should make him swear. We came and damer michtav chadfe havelik a gazlin. He's like a gazlin. We can't let him swear. Amar Abba ad mochiv shvu ini achol shava chol mochiv shvu ini achol shava mishalim. So Rav Abba says he has to pay. Because technically, who has to swear over here? The guy who grabbed it away. The guy who grabbed it away can't swear because his shvua would be different than the shvua that he's actually chayv. The only shvua you can take when an eid echad, you know, calls you to court is this eid echad is not telling the truth. This eid echad is trying to make me pay and I don't owe the money. Here, the guy is basically saying the Eid Echad is telling 100% truth. He's just missing part of the story. I could swear that I don't have to pay it back, because I was really just taking back what was mine. But that's not what he's chayef to swear. What he's chayef to swear is, I didn't take it. And therefore, he can't do that. He just admitted that he took it. And thus, Rav Abba holds he has to pay. So why does Rav Abba, the Rabbosein of Sheb Eretz Yisrael? Because the Rabbosein of Sheb Eretz Yisrael say that when you can't take a shvua, so it's chazur l'mishin is chayef, you have to do what you're supposed to do had there not been an institution of shvua in the first place. In which case, what? In this case, saying, because the Nishba Benotel is just saying, he's saying, why should he have to be Nishba Benotel in this case? The other guy is not, it's not usher for him to swear, it's saying it's not, he's not chashed on a shvua. There was never an institution made to protect somebody in such a case. See, the whole takana was dafka, so people shouldn't take advantage of someone who's chashed on a shvua. But here, nobody's taking advantage of you. I mean, he claims that people are taking advantage of him, but there's no such takana that the other guy has to swear in order to collect. Okay, so this is the case of Nascha de Rav Abba, and this is how we paskin, Toch Sheinu Yochel Lishava Meshalim, under these circumstances. But it's important to keep in mind the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel on one side, where we don't say. So meaning, what would Rav and Shmuel say in such a case? What would Rav and Shmuel say in such a case? That this fellow says, in chatfi v'didi chatfi, what would we make him do? We would let him keep it. We would let him keep it. So the question we're going to have in the back of our minds for a second is, why? Why should he be allowed to keep it? Right? Rav and Shmuel have to be holding something. So that's going to play out a little later. Let's go to the Tosfos on Lamed Beis Amid Beis, and the parallel Tosfos in Bava Basra. Tosfos on Lamed Beis Amid Beis asks the following kasha. Yim Tomer, v'nehemne b'shvua didideh chotaf migudi boy yomer lo chatfei v'havim mehemen b'shvua. So he says, "What? Well, this guy is a good migu. What's his migu? His migu is I could have said lo hayudvar me'ola. I could have said the whole thing never happened." No, you couldn't. There's an Eid Echad testifying against you. So you couldn't have said it never happened. The answer is, he could have. He just has to bump it up a notch. What do we mean? Meaning, I could swear that the whole thing never happened and I would win. So now, believe me that I can swear that what I took was mine. Meaning, in a normal case of Migu, what do we say? Believe me that I'm saying this because of what I could have said. Right? So believe me now that I'm telling you the truth. So here, you just have to bump the whole migu up a little bit of a notch. Where we're saying, believe me when I swear to this, because I would have been believed had I sworn that. That's the kasha of Tosfos. And Tosfos provides evidence that such a thing exists. You might say, well, who says there is such a migu on earth? Maybe migu is just when it comes to a pasha taina, no shvuas, no nothing. The fact that you're throwing in a shvuah, maybe that ruins everything. No, he says it works. How do we know? So he says, "Dechi agav na amar b'sofa mochas abayis gabi mafkin etzel chaver b'shtar dinem on lomar b'shvuah zarti l'cha v'lo matzel b'mer hay hech shtar chabiyadi my boy." The guy gives him a pikadon. He says, "I want you to watch my computer," and this guy. And he takes a shtar that says, "I'm giving you my computer as a pikadon to watch." So now he comes back and he says, "What happened over here?" He's neman to say, "I gave it back to you already." Guy comes and says, "Where's my computer?" "I gave it back to you yesterday. What are you talking about?" So should he be believed or not? Well, I have a shtar that says I gave it to you, and I still have that shtar. So I should go to court now and say, "No. You should not be believed because I have a shtar, and that's a chazaka of shtar chabiyadi, my boy. Why on earth would I have this shtar if you already returned it? Must be you never returned it. So that's the shtar that's contradicting your claim. But here we're going to allow him to swear that he returned it. Why? Because he could have sworn something else and gotten away with it. What could he have sworn? Right, he could have sworn that there was some kind of a power surge in my house and blew the computer away. Right now, all of a sudden, it fried all the circuits and everything. right? So I threw it out, or whatever. So there, he's towing tainus onus, and therefore, he's believed when he's towing tainus onus. He has to take a shvua. Every shomer who wants to get away with whatever he's entitled to get away with has to take a shvua. So mele here also, I would be mechuyev to take a shvua to say that I returned it. But you see, because he could have made the taina that I would have been believed with a shvua to say it was an ones, then mele I should be believed here with a shvua to say that I gave it back already. It's a very strong migu. So that's the kasha of Tosfos. So Yesh Lomar, so Tosfos answers the following. The yare l'shaker b'dover sh'eid makhisho k'da'ash k'chon b'chaz k'sabatim. Right? Okay, so I don't even want to get into the raya right now. Just this idea that when I swear to contradict the eid echad, that is what we call, what do we call that type of migu in general? It's called a migu de ha'ozo, right? That we both know that the Eid Echad and me, we both know that I'm lying. So I look really bad when I get up there to swear falsely in court. And Mela, to sort of like weasel around the situation and say, yeah, it's all true, but you don't know the backstory. So it's not a classic migu de ha'aza that like I'm standing up there, I'm saying an outright lie, and I'm even swearing that I'm swearing to the facts of this lie. That's a real serious case of chutzpah. So basically, what we're saying, what Tosfos is saying over here, and we'll see, this is the shita of the Ri. What Tosfos is saying over here is that the whole migu doesn't get started because it's a migu de ha'oza. That it would be considered very difficult for a person to stand up there and to swear falsely when the Eid Echad knows that he's swearing falsely. And therefore, you can't say, believe me now when I swear that what I took back was mine, migu that I could have sworn falsely to directly contradict the words of the Eid Echad. Right. So why don't we say the same thing in the case of the Shomer? Right. Meaning, if I would have said there was an onus, you don't know what happened. You don't know that I'm lying. It's not so bad. Like, you said, watch my computer. And I say that, armed robbers came and they cracked my safe and it was the worst burglary of all time. We get their onus, right? So, okay. So what do you know? You think it didn't happen? You think something's fishy, but Lamaisa, you can't prove it. It could be that I'm telling the truth. So therefore, it's not a migu de ha'oza. I'm allowed to say now, believe me that I returned it. Migu, I could have sworn that there was an onus. Hashem came here. I'm not officially capable, quote unquote, of swearing to contradict you, because that would be too chutzpahdik. That's the concept of the migu de ha'oza over here. Now, just as a side point, that's the Tosfos' answer that they go with in Shavuos Eidus, and that's the sheet of the Ri in Bava Basra. Fine. Now, just as a quick side point, I don't know the answer to this question, but I think it's worth just thinking about it for 1 second. You guys familiar with the idea of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that there's two types of migu? What? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I won't get into it too much, but it's worth looking into. Rabbi Chanan basically says there's two different types of migu. It's not a hard piece, by the way. It's very worthwhile to read. He applies it in a lot of places that might not be so simple, But I think it's in the second chelik where he has an inyan of migu. So he spells it out pretty. He spells out the yesod, right? The way I think the phrases that he uses is a migu of ne'amanis or migu of koach hatayna, right? That's the lashonos that whoever wrote up that part of the Kovet Shurim uses. I think Rosh Hechter, for whatever reason, used to use a little bit of a slightly different lashon. He used to say migu of oh no, I messed up Rabbi Chanan's lashonos. He says Rabbi Chanan's lashonos are mali l'shaker versus koach hatayna, right? Mali l'shaker versus koach hatayna. I think that's how Rabbi Chanan phrases it. So one type of migu is, why would I lie? I could have just said this, right? Why would I lie? So, saying, believe me that I'm not lying because I could have said this. The other type of migu is what they call the migu of koach hatayna. Koach hatayna means, since I'm believed to say A, that proves that I am, quote unquote, the man when it comes to this case. Like, that proves that I have all the ne'amanus I'll ever need, and therefore believe anything I say. So that's the two different types of migus, and there are different examples of when you would apply which migu. Rav Shechter used to refer to them as migu of ne'amanus or migu of tainam al yisod. It's the same yisod. I don't know, Tani Cohen once tried to explain to me why the Lashon was better, why it was more meduyuk to say it that way. I never understood what he was trying to say to me. But the bottom line is, you could say it's a migu of nemanus, meaning since I could make taina A and get away with it, then memela, any taina I make is good. No, that's nemanus. I have nemanus. If I could say taina A, and I would be believed, so that proves that I have nemanus in this case. Koach hatayna, nemanus, whatever you want to call it. Right? That just shows you that I'm in charge. Right? And the migu of tainam al yisa / mali l'shaker is, believe me that I'm telling the truth, because why would I say this if I could have just said that? So there are certain nafkaminas that Rabbi Chanan plays out. One of the nafkaminas is migu d'ha'oza. Migu d'ha'oza is a nafkamina, so think about it for a second. See if you can figure it out. Which one would be which? If it's a migu of ne'amanus / koach hatayna, would a migu d'ha'oza work? Versus if it was a migu of mali l'shaker, would a migu d'ha'oza work? Right. So that's what Rabbi Chanan says. Rabbi Chanan says, if you say it's a migu of ne'emonus of koach hatayna, I don't actually have to be able to make that taina. The fact that it exists in the hypothetical realm is a raya that you should believe everything I say. Therefore, you'll say, yeah, but you would never actually say that because it would just be too chutzpahdik. So what if I would never actually say it? That's not, right? That's just a raya that everything that I say is true. Because if I'm ne'eman to say that, I'm ne'eman to say anything. That's, if you hold it's a migu of ne'emanus. But if you say it's mali l'shaker, why would I lie when I could have just said this? I'll give you a good answer. Because you would never have said that because you'd be too embarrassed. So Mamela, we're not going to believe you with your other taina. You hear the chiluk? He has a few other cases.
You know where it is?
I think it's, if you look in the second chiluk, Simon Gimel? Yeah, it's its own little shtickle. But he applies it a number of nicely in a number of places in Bava Basra, and that's the last time I've seen it inside. It was in Bava Basra. I think it's in the one in Ksuvas also, but the actual piece is in the beginning of the second chelik. So, Lamaisa, so this one of the nafkaminas is our case of where he's saying you can't say a migu of mali l'shaker when it's a migu de ha'oza, because the whole yisod of mali l'shaker is, I could have just said this, why would I say what I'm saying now? And the answer would be, no, you couldn't have said this, you would have been too embarrassed. Right? Always important to keep in the back of your mind that whenever someone, quote unquote, has a migu, they're not using the migu, right? Another example, meaning, let's say the guy lets it slip that the migu is not true. Let's say he opens his mouth in Beis Din and he says, you know, it wasn't an ones, right? The case of the pikadon. He opens his mouth and says it wasn't an ones. So then he could say, well, you should believe me because I could have tainted it was an ones. Whoa, not so fast. Once you lose the other taina, now you can't actually make your claim with a migu because you don't have it anymore. That's only true, I don't think Rabbi Chanan says this, but I think it's partial. That's only true when it's a migu of mali l'shaker. Why would I lie? The answer is you would lie because you just admitted the other thing's not true, so now you don't even have a migu anymore. Masha Enkein, even if I admit that the taina that I could have made didn't happen, but still it's a raya that I have nemunas to make my current taina. You hear? Yeah.
He wouldn't have admitted it if he wanted to use the migu.
Right, but let's say he accidentally does.
Clearly accidental.
As he's talking, it becomes clear that he no longer has that claim, and then he makes the other claim. Right? So now, in other words, the migu is always a cheshbon that the Beis Din makes. It's never a cheshbon that the guy makes. Oh, believe me, because I could have said this. No. We think those thoughts. You don't think those thoughts. Or if you think them, you don't spell them out. Right? Because otherwise you lose your migu. So that really only applies again to a migu of mali l'shaker. Because if it's a migu of nemanus, so then you still have the nemanus. The fact that you would have been believed had you said it is proof that we pretty much believe whatever you say. Okay. So my only question would be, and I don't want to get into it too much, but I just want to be ma'ora of the inyan, is why is our case a migu of mali l'shaker and not a migu of nemanus? Meaning, once Tosfos, within Rabbi Chanan, once Tosfos is officially labeling this a migu d'ha'aza, and therefore you can't say it, so why, every time you see somebody rejecting something because of migu d'ha'aza, you have to ask yourself, that means that Tosfos thought that this was a migu of mali l'shaker. Why was it dafka migu of mali l'shaker versus a migu of nemanus? That's a question you always have to wind up asking every time Tosfos uses one of the nafkaminas. You understand? So, okay, I just wanted to throw it out there. Fine. Let's go to the Tosfos in Bava Basra where they reject this answer of Tosfos. Tosfos in Bava Basra presents this answer of Tosfos in Shavuos as the opinion of the Ri. It says, "Va'omer Ri devadai im lo haya ha'ed mechayvo shvua haya neman b'migu d'iboy omer lo chatfe d'yachal ha'ez panav l'hachish ha'ed." It says, if there would have been no shvua involved, we would have believed him that he could have. He said, when he says, I'm just taking back what's mine, we would have believed him. But now that he has to swear, it's not so fast, right? So he says, he would have been able to contradict him without a shvuah. We don't believe him to take a different shvuah with a migu, and just the Bach changed a little bit here. Shalo hoya yachol. He says he wouldn't have had the chutzpah to make such a shvua in front of the Eidech, and therefore he has no migu. That's our Tosfos. Now Tosfos in Bava Basra is now going to reject this opinion, and he says what? Avokosha ilek amigu my taima the Rabbi Shmuel the pligi. He says, the problem is, no one has tried to explain Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel hold, in the case of Nascha de Rav Abba, that the guy gets to keep it. Really? You get to keep it without it? Anything? That's so weird, no? Rav and Shmuel hold, an Eid Echad sees you stealing the Nascha, and you say, yeah, I was just taking back what's mine. Okay, go home. You win. You win? So you just allowed to steal things and claim you're taking back what's yours? It's very strange. Rav and Shmuel must hold something, no? So what's the pshat in Rav and Shmuel? Bahashta my patri vapshita deino neman lomer di dichad vibelo migu kideprishis leel. So he says, must be that Rav and Shmuel hold that he does have a migu. He does have a migu. That's why he's believed. Because otherwise, why would you let the guy go home with the other person's property? You hear the kasha? Again, the whole yisod of the re is the guy has no migu because of migu da'azah. Really? He has no migu. So that means that Rav and Shmuel also agree he has no migu. And yet they claim that he wins? What taina does he have? The guy says, you stole from me. He has an Eid Echad who says, I saw you steal it from him. And the guy's like, nah, I was just stealing what's mine. Okay, you win. You win? That's terrible. Why would you win? So says Tosfos, the reason the guy wins is that he has a migu that he could have contradicted the whole thing. That's what Rav and Shmuel hold. He has a migu that he could have said, I never stole from you in the first place. So Mela, since I could have argued and taken a shvua that I never stole in the first place, so therefore I win when I say I was just taking back what was mine. That's Rav and Shmuel. So according to that, you do have a migu. So now we're a little stuck. How can you explain Rav and Shmuel if you're the Ri? So it comes along the Rivam and says, because the Pshat is different. He does have a migu, and yet he still loses. According to Rav Abba. Why? L'chei nira k'mo shepirish Rivam. Therefore, Tosfos prefers the Rivam. Devadai havi migu ulachi patri avu Shmuel. Dineman b'shvua de migu di bo yomer lo chatfe. Of course he has a migu, and Rav and Shmuel hold of that migu, and they say he has to swear, and then he can keep it. Right? V'rebi abu sovar afal gav de isle migu chayef. Why? Kevan de ika chayef. Since you have a person who's mechayev you a shvua doraisa, kain hu adin sheyishba lahakish as a aid o yishalim v'ein mo'ol lo migu lipoter. The rule is when an aid echad testifies against you, you have two choices. Choice number one, swear. Choice number two, pay. The end. Stam Xeris Akosov, you have no right to make tainas against an Eid Echad. Your tainas against an Eid Echad should be comprised of one thing only, and that's swearing. If your taina is not swearing to contradict the Eid Echad, you lose. That's Rav Abba's Shita. Rav and Shmuel say, what are you talking about? Eid Echad, you could swear, yes, or you can make other tainas. You could still win. And therefore, they hold, you can win if you take a different shvua. That's the Rivam. The Ri is very difficult now. The Ri holds, when the Eid Echad testifies against you, so Rav and Shmuel seem to hold, you win even though you don't have a migu. Because you can't take the shvua. It's a hard thing, no? So say you can't take the shvua, so mele you win. But you don't have a migu, you don't have anything. It's very hard to understand the Ri. The Rivam is a little easier to understand in the sense that Rav and Shmuel say you have a good migu, therefore you win if you take a shvua about the other thing. And Rav Abba holds no. When the Eid Echad testifies against you, you have a gzeiras akasuv, you have to swear or pay. And therefore, this guy can't swear, he has to pay. Logically, maybe he should win. Okay, too bad. This logic doesn't necessarily play out when you have an Eid Echad against you. So that's the way the Rivam wants to explain the Machlokas. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So now, I just want to explore this third Mahalach. The problem is, I don't have this Sefer with me that I once saw it in a number of years ago. I have my notes on it, which are not super clear. But I looked up a different place where it could have been found, and it doesn't spell it out the way I would have liked. So I'm going to try to present it as best as possible. I'm not sure. My main problem with the whole thing is just why... Basically, there's a sefer called Yegias Erev. Yegias Erev was Rav Shach, when he wrote Svarim, was much younger. Wasn't young, but he was much younger. He was probably in his 50s and 60s. And then when he continued giving shir for another 40 years or so. So some of the later shiurim that he wrote up, even though they produced later Mahaduros of the Avi Ezri, some of the shiurim that he gave later in life, they published them under the title Yegias Erev, right? So which is a nice title for such a thing, you know, like when you're an older guy, you give a shiur, they call it Yegias Erev, okay. So he had a very nice piece in that sefer, he has it on Shavuos and Nedarim. So in the piece on Shavuos and Nedarim, he has on Ardaf, on Lamed Beis and Lamed Beis, this idea where he rejects the sheet of the Ri and the Rivam, but the Rivam he doesn't really spell out his kashas so clearly, but I don't know if I could properly tell you why he rejects the Rivam. Basically what he says is, if the Ri holds that there's no Migu, so why do I even need the phrase Mitoch Sheinu Yachol Lishava Mishal? You hear the kasha? Meaning, what do you mean Mitoch Sheinu Yachol Lishava Mishal? He just has to pay, period. He has no Migu. There's an Eid Echad against him. That's why he has to pay. Mitoch She'eino Yochel Lishava Meshalim is not so clear. He doesn't have anything to say. Right? He's going to say, I took back what was mine. Right? There's a chazakah called Kol Nashadachas Yado. Right? Shalohu. Right? Anything that I'm holding on to is mine. Right? I'm going to walk over to you right now and say, oh, it's very nice of me to have loaned you my shirt for the day, but I'll be expecting it back by the end of the day. Okay. Saying, and also the computer, and also your shoes. Okay? I'll take all three. So just leave them in a bag in front of my room. Saying, you can't just walk over to people and just demand their stuff. Saying, I can claim it's really mine. You say back, then why am I wearing it? Oh, I loaned it to you. Shkach. It's not a taina, right? Kol nashatachas yado shaladam shalohu, right? Whatever I'm holding on to is a chazaka that it's mine. So now you say you were just taking back what was yours. That means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. So the Ri, according to the Ri, that I don't have a migu. So you mainly say, okay, I have a migu that I was really taking back what was mine because I could have, you know, sworn to contradict the Eid Echad in the first place and say the whole thing is a lie. So since I could have sworn to contradict the Eid Echad, now the Ri makes sense. Or forget the Ri for a second because he holds you can't do it, right? I understand the idea of Mitoch Sheinu Yochel Lishav Mishal. I have a migu. I could have debunked everything you said. So what's included in everything you said that I even took it from you in the first place? Who has the nascha right now? I do. I'm the nitpa. You said to me that I stole your nascha, but it's in my house. So if I would somehow be able to debunk the fact that I took it from you, now I have the chazaka. Right? So the only reason we believe you that I took it from you in the first place is that you have an Eid Echad who claims that I took it. But if I would swear to contradict that Eid Echad, I would win. So Mamela, the fact that I have a Migu contradicts your chazaka that was Tachas Yarcha. You understand? So that makes sense why I would win. And then the Gemara comes on and says, yeah, but you can't take your Shavua, so Mamela you lose. Right? You can't swear the shvua that you need to take, so that's why you lose. But according to the Ri, that I don't even have a migu, what was the havamina that I was going to win? You have the chazaka, you have an eid echad, the end. I don't have anything. So why do we have to come on to me? Should just be able to take it stam. You should say, the reason I win is because the chazaka kol mashdach ziyadah shalohu. That would be a better explanation of the Gemara. I think that's the way he presents the kasha. I think. So he wants to say, therefore, a different mahalach, based on, you could say it's the mahalach of the Rambam, perhaps, based on the comment of the Bir Agra, or the Pirush Agra, on the Rambam. The Rambam, and this he heard said from Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, his uncle-in-law, right? Rav Shach's wife was Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer's sister's daughter. So he was his uncle-in-law. So if you look in the Evan Uzzel, not here, but if you look in the Evan Uzzel, he mentions that he had a back and forth with his nephew-in-law about this inyan, but he doesn't spell it out the same way. He doesn't spell it out exactly this way, but he does make mention of this comment of the Gra, and he thinks that that's the yisod of the Rambam's explanation. So you end up with a third explanation. The Rambam is in the middle of discussing something else, which is that kisheyitba hamalve halvaaso. When the malve comes to the love and says, "Give me back my money," even though the malve is a multi-billionaire and he wants to take this guy's last dime and he's poor, too bad. If he has the money or if he has metaltalim, you take him. Vimlo is speak on metaltalim, govimina karka. And that's why you have all those cases in the Gemara. Basically, what is it? You have all these cases where this guy makes a purchase and the Baal Chov comes and takes it. This guy, the Baal Chov, takes it and then the woman can collect it for a ksuva later. Right? The rule is, if the guy has land now, take the land, and if it turns out that the land was really meshubah to ksuva, or was meshubah to a different bachov, then let that person come and take it away from you. That's okay. This is the next part that's relevant to us. Ta'an alove, shemetaltal an elu shebiyadi, einon shali. Oh, I owe you $1,000, and I have a $900 flat screen TV, and a $100 Blu-ray player, right? So you say, I'm going to take the TV and the Blu-ray. You say, those aren't actually mine. I was watching them for my friend. So you can't take them because they're not mine to begin with. So, you know, my friend's on vacation, so he doesn't like it when nobody watches his TV. So he said, I'm doing him a favor. He gave me some Blu-rays, and he said, my TV's going to get lonely if you're not watching it. So Mela, here it is. Right? So I'm doing him a favor, so you can't take it away from me because it doesn't even belong to me. Right? Ela pikadon ein biyadi. O schurin. O shulin. Ein shomin lo. We don't listen to the guy. Ela o yaviraya o yigve mehem balchovo. He has two choices. He can either prove it, show me that it belongs to somebody else, or I'm taking it. The fact that you claim it belongs to somebody else is irrelevant. That's the Rambam Shita. Says the Magid Mishnah, good point, but there's no source for that. Right? The Lashon of the Magid Mishnah. What? Right. Pashtus, but like he wants to make a taina against the Chazaka. No, you're right, but the point is he says that there's no blatant case in Shas that contradicts it. Or that says it, I'm sorry. It says, Dinza Einu Mavor B'Gemara B'Pshitus, it's not spelled out anywhere, Avonira davar shel tam. Makes sense. Right? Okay. Then he goes off on a little bit of a tangent, which is a worthwhile tangent. He just asks the kasha, yesh le tmoa, ma tam lo yeh nemon b'migu, I'm sorry, nemon b'zem, mitoch sheyachol, lo seitam b'matana u lemochron, v'lo seis adamin, u balchov lo yig b'mehen, kemo sheyiz bar b'perek yilches. The Rambam later on points out, let's say, I owe you the same $1,000, and I have this TV and the Blu-ray, then I could quickly, as I see you coming, or even after you come, I could say, I'm giving these away as a matana. I don't like you very much, even though you loaned me money. It was nice of you, but too bad. So I say I'm giving them away as a gift. I'm allowed to do that. And then I have no money. So I could give them away as a gift. So why am I not Nema now? Migu, I could have given it away. And yet, you know, so believe me that they're not mine. Meaning, that's a good time, you know? If I say, believe me that they're not mine, because it's in my ability to give them away, so I have this strong migu, that you should believe me that they're not mine. That's the kasha that some of the Rishonim raise. And he gives two answers of it. He quotes the Rashba B'Shem Rabbo, which is interesting because the second answer is going to be the Ramban, who was the Rebbe of the Rashba, so it's unclear. But he quotes the Rashba B'Shem Rabbo. These are Rishonim. You can find them on the daf also in Ksuvas Yates. Right, so he says, "She'ein omer migu b'makom she'ein atainos shavos." V'kanim ha'ya nosin ha'makabel matana lo ha'ya mechuyev lachzirin lo. V'mutoin shel Reuven ein v'apikadim biyadi im eino emes mechuyev Reuven b'val. I'm sorry, im eino emes mechuyev hu Reuven b'val latzis deshemayim la'nichem lachzirim liyad alovet. Meaning, there's a huge difference in the tainos. I got very confused back in the day when I saw the Enatainos Shavos. Enatainos Shavos means it's not worth it for me to make this other claim. If I give it away, Migu, I could have given it away as a gift, so believe me now that it doesn't belong to me. It's a big difference. I say it's really Reuven's TV, right? So believe me, Migu, that I could have just given it right now as a gift to Reuven. So says the Rashba. You want to know what the big nafkamina between the two claims is? Right. Reuven's going to come the next day. Hey, I heard you watching my TV. Like, go away, Reuven. Like, that was a lie. Right? It's not a... I don't lose anything by making that claim. Right? So if I say, believe me, Migo, I could have given it away as a gift. No, you would not have given it away as a gift. Because if you give it away as a gift, you actually lose it. By making the claim, you get to keep it. So therefore, it's not a good Migo. That's the Rashba, Hashem Rabba. Then the Ramban gives a different teretz. Right? He says, Kishem istap, kimistapik sha'achar shetavu b'chovo, eino ne'man lomer b'mashav yado shu'achar, chazaka kol mashav b'yad adam shalo, u'mig mokum chazaka kazu lo amrina. So this is what you were saying before. This is a migu against the chazaka. When I walk into your house, I have the right to assume everything in the house belongs to you. Now you're going to claim it's not true. So that's a migu against the chazaka. So you say, who says my migu doesn't beat the chazaka? So Ramban says, in this case, where your migu is super fishy, it doesn't beat the chazaka. Meaning your taina is a taina of what we call kinunya, right? You're already, clearly you're pulling shtick over here to try to get out of paying. So when there's a contradictory chazaka to your migu, It's not going to beat the claim in the case of kinunya. Meaning, you're trying to get out of paying, and you're making a claim that contradicts the chazaka. There, we don't accept it. That's the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rashba as to what's the reason why we don't say migu. I could have given it away as a gift. But okay, Maisa, just explain the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rashba. Why doesn't the Rashba just say it's not a good migu? It has to come on to a totally different approach. The Ramban just says your migu stinks because it's contradicted by the Metzias. It's contradicted by the fact that you have a chazaka that it's yours, and it's already fishy to begin with, so we're not accepting it. Right? Could be that the Rashba holds that a migu of biyado in this case is much stronger than a regular migu. Right? This is a case we call biyado. Biyado means I could do this, so therefore I get nemanis that I could have done it. That what I'm doing wins. It's much more of like a migu of koach hatayin or nemanis. It's stronger than a regular migu. Right? The concept of biyado in general gives you a lot of nemanis. We find this in other cases. Right? That we find this, for example, in the cases of Eidecha Neman Bisurin. When it's biyado, right? Biyado, I could have done this, or I have the ability to do it, even in a metzius where I couldn't have actually pulled it off. Still, I get nemanus against the concept of ischazik isura, right? So, for example, Tosos brings a case where do we believe a woman when she says the meat was shechted, right? So Tosos says, even though, you know, most women in those times and these times didn't know, most men don't know how to shecht either, right? So nobody knows how to shecht anymore except if you're a shochet. So it's still considered biyado because I could have learned fairly easily how to shecht, right? I could join Yagilu for a week or whatever, and now they had a thing. It was a whole thing, right? What?
New York Times.
New York Times, right? So it was a big deal. So so I can learn how to shecht. Right? So I'm allowed to learn how to shecht, and therefore, even though I never did learn how to shecht, since it's biyadi to learn how to shecht, memela, I have a good taina. I have nemanis in this case that I have nemanis that it was shechted me. So the concept of biyado extends beyond just believe me that I could have, that I did it because I could have done it. Because even in cases where b'mitzius, I couldn't have actually done it. Right? Unless you say, well, where'd you get this meat from? I got it from Gourmet Glot. So it's kosher. Right? Well, how do I know that's true? Because I could have shechted it myself if I wanted to. Meaning meat is a schazik yisura. A dead animal is quite usser to eat. Right? So you have to have been shechted. So Mela, when I have a steak sitting on a plate ready to serve, so you'll say, well, why do you have nemanis there? That's called Eidecha Neman Bisurin in the case of Ischazik Yisura. Right? So leaving out what we said, you know, a couple months ago, where we said that maybe it's just a Chazak al Achaver, right? Leaving that whole thing aside, assuming like Tosfos that it's a Din Eidecha Neman Bisurin, that's Eidecha Neman Kineged Ischazik Yisura. So there we say, no, it's Biyado. It's Biyado. Why is it Biyado? Because I could have learned how to do Shechita myself. I didn't need to go to Gourmet Glot. Aye, but I'm admitting that I don't know how to shecht. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You hear? So, you see the nemanis of biyado works in funny ways. So it could be just the machlokas, how we understand the nemanis of biyado, how it would play out in such a case. Believe me that I could have, that I'm telling the truth over here because I could have given it away. So how do you play that according to the Rashba? The Rashba says, no, you couldn't give it away in this case because it wouldn't have been as good. Right? Meaning, let's say I say the meat is kosher. The meat is kosher. Meat's kosher. So, is it better or worse for me to shecht it myself or go to Gourmet Glot? It's the same. Let's assume it's the same. It's probably much more convenient to just go to Gourmet Glot, hence the fact that it exists. Right? So it's more convenient for me to go to Gourmet Glot. But I say that I went to Gourmet Glot and you believe me because I could have shechted it myself. Right? So therefore I have nemanis. Mashenkin, if it would have been, let's say I would say, like, believe me that I went to Gourmet Glot because I could have shechted it myself, but everyone knows I'm not a shochet and shechita lessons cost $10,000. So all of a sudden my nemanis, says the Rashba, doesn't look so good anymore. Right? Because now the secondary claim is much worse. The claim that I would have been able to, you would have believed me that I shechted it, like, you don't know how to shecht, and there's a huge financial investment in shechting. So the Rashba would say over here also, no way. If you would have claimed it belongs to Reuven, it's Reuven's TV, or if you would have given it as a gift, sorry, you would have lost the money. And therefore, your claim now that it really is a pikadon, you don't necessarily lose any money. Yeah. What about it?
You could have given it to Reuven.
Yeah, Matana Manasa Asu doesn't work so well in a lot of cases, right? That's a big shout. Tosos Tosfos deals with it a lot in Kiddushin, excuse me, about the case of Matanas Manas La'Afsir. It doesn't always help you as much as we would like. Right? So, okay. Let me just finish up this idea. The Kitzur, so the Biragro over here, or whatever they call it, it's in the Chidushim of Biurim Melukatim al Rambam. So in the old editions, it would have been like in the back of the Mishnah Torah, where like there's a million pages of small print of all these things that, you know, are very, I don't think too many people read. So then the Frankel Rambam did everybody a big service and put things on the daf. So they put this little thing on the daf over there. Bira Gra says, the Magen Mishnah says there's no source for it. I don't agree. I think the source for it is Nascha de Rabbi Abba. The source for the whole Rambam. Again, let's just go back to remember what the Rambam actually says. The Rambam says that when I claim it belongs to Reuven, it's a pikadon. We don't believe me. And he says the makor is the Nascha de Rabbi Abba. Why? So he says over there, Sheton in chatvi v'didi chatvi eino nevan. Why? V'taima kevan sheyesh edus shaya biyad chaveiro eino yochal lootzi mimenu ela beraya brura. Afkan kevan shezeh biyado eino yochal litlos ba'acher ela beraya brura. So he says, once we come to my house and we see that it's sitting in my house, that's like edus that it belongs to me. And v'meila, I need a pure raya to prove that it's not mine. That's what he says is the source of the Rambam. The flip side of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. In the case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba, the Eid Echad says, I saw you take it from him, so now I need a good raya that I didn't take it. I would need my shvua, right? And in the case of the Rambam, where the guy says it doesn't belong to me, yeah, but we were in your house, we saw that it was in your house, and therefore we say it does belong to you. Okay, so based on this, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer wants to say that's the pshat over here in why we don't have a problem with Nascha de Rabbi Abba being against the Migul over here. So he says, what's the pshat? That how much nemanus are we getting from this Eid Echad when it comes to the Nascha belonging to the original party? Meaning Reuven says, you stole my Nascha to Shimon. Shimon says, it was always mine. And Eid Echad says, I saw you take it away from Reuven. So Rav Yisrael Zalman wants the Taina that we don't necessarily say that the Eid Echad counts as a Raya Brura that the Nascha belonged to Reuven. We don't say such a thing. And therefore, Rav and Shmuel say that you're not automatically contradicting the Chazak of Kol Mashatachas Yad. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Abba, we trust the Eid Echad to say that Nascha belonged to Reuven. And therefore, when you claim that it really belongs to you, you're contradicting the Chazaka. And you need a better raya than just saying that, well, no, it isn't. And I'm willing to swear that it was really mine in the first place. You need something better than that. Okay, and based on that, it opens the door for a much more fundamental understanding of what the Eid Echad is accomplishing in general. So we'll have to hold off on that till next time. I already went over time. Sorry about that. But we'll have to hold off on that till next time. But yeah, think about it.